He started here. He is here. No one knows New York better. Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
The complaint charges Speaker Silver in five counts with corruptly seeking legal business from a handful of people and entities with significant business or interests before the state, and then corruptly profiting from the legal fees that were paid. All told, we allege that Silver corruptly collected some $4 million in bribes and kickbacks disguised as referral fees. Those disguised bribes and kickbacks account for approximately two-thirds of all of Silver's outside income since 2002.
Stormy days in Albany, the state capital roiled by, you heard the federal U.S. attorney right there, the multi-count corruption complaint against Assembly Speaker Sheldon Silver. The dude now accused of earning $4 million at least in paybacks. That's just that that first elaborate scheme uncovered by the U.S. attorney. And I'm asking, and this is the big question, what Governor Andrew Cuomo knew of Sheldon Silver's antics, when the governor knew it, whether he knew, the governor knew, that the investigation of his own anti-corruption panel was closing in on his pal, Sheldon Silver. Is that why the governor shut down the Moreland commissioner? These are very, very important questions that I am absolutely not hearing other pundits or journalists referring to enough. This is what it's all about. I mean, it may be that's just like Bridgegate. It may be a situation, Bridgegate with the closure of the George Washington Bridge in New Jersey. It may be a situation where the governor in New Jersey has made a credible argument, I guess, that even though there was rot all around him there in Jersey having to do with the Port Authority and the bridge closure, he, Christie, wasn't involved in it. Is this the same? Is Andrew Cuomo also similarly able, will he be able to insulate himself from this rot all around him, that he is not, Andrew Cuomo is not involved in this corruption that is obviously a cancer on our state capitol? But before I get deeper into that, here's what I want to hear from you, and I've got a very special guest on a breaking news item here. But before I get deeper into what I have to say about Albany and this corruption and all the rest of it, what I want to hear from you at 866-Geraldo is, since he has not been indicted yet, it's a criminal complaint, it's not an indictment, should Sheldon Silver step aside until this massive corruption allegation is resolved? He's the Speaker of the State Assembly. Under the lame laws we have in New York State, he can stay in office until and unless he is convicted. Is that what you want to say with these allegations against him? And the promise from Preet Bharara, the U.S. attorney, that this is going to go far deeper into our state government. Should Assembly Speaker Sheldon Silver step aside until this case is resolved one way or the other? 866-Geraldo, 866-437-2536. I'm going to get to your call in a minute. But on this sunny, cold day, we're looking at the skies. We're wondering whether tonight's going to bring us the first real blast of the kind of awful frigid weather that made last winter the worst in recent memory. I barely survived it. So before we get into the hurricane that's rocking Albany and maybe on the verge of blasting the stink of corruption from our rotten state capital, I want to get a reliable assessment on just how bad this big nor'easter blowing our way is going to be. And for that, no better man than Channel 7 Eyewitness News senior meteorologist Bill Evans. So Bill, welcome. So how bad is it going to be? First of all, when does the snow start? I'm flying in tonight. Am I going to make it in from the coast? Are we going to have significant accumulation? Is this going to be like that black ice stuff again? What's going on, Bill?
Well, it's a real mess. You'll be able to get in tonight as long as you're in before, let's say, midnight to 2 a.m. After that, boy, the wheels come off the wagon. This is the worst kind of setup, Geraldo. You know, it'd be kind of nice if it was a dry, powdery snow and we got 6 or 8, 12 inches of it and had some fun on a Saturday, a non-commuting day. But this is a mess. So if you have to travel, and I've been getting all kinds of social media inquiries, a lot of people want to travel on Saturday morning, getting kids back to college. There's all kinds of stuff going on with travel on Saturday morning. It's going to be terrible. We start out with wet snow after midnight. It's going to snow till about 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning in the city, Long Island, Jersey Shore, then changes to ice. So we'll have snow mixed with ice and rain at that point up above I-287, I-80, I-95 in Connecticut. Up above that, it remains all snow. Goes to about 6, maybe even 8 inches of heavy, wet snow. and then it starts to change to rain first part of the afternoon. So, you know, it's not any fun. It's just going to be a lot of slop. But then at the end of the day, the end of the day tomorrow, it goes back to snow. And there could be another accumulating 2 inches of snow, 3 inches of snow, as we get to sunset and dinner time on Saturday evening. So all day long, it is a travel nightmare tomorrow.
All right, travel nightmare. I'm going to ask you. 10 is like a real horror, American Horror Story. Where are you putting this, Bill Evans?
Well, I would say because of travel and the fact that, you know, poor New Jersey, you know, they're the tractor trailer turned over state, you know, it's the jackknife tractor trailer.
The capital of jackknife tractor trailers.
Yeah, easy for that to happen tomorrow. It will happen tomorrow, absolutely guaranteed. So I would say it's somewhere, you know, on the travel meter, very dangerous, an 8 or a 9 for traveling. You know, if you could plow it and all this kind of stuff and people could get around, it's going to be very difficult because it's snow and ice mixed, bridges, overpasses, all that kind of ice over. And then it refreezes tomorrow evening at sunset. The other thing about this is that Monday morning, we're going to have another snowstorm, and it's going to come right at. Just want to tell you that now so you can go away for the weekend and just plan to have it some back your mind.
Yeah, plan to stay away.
Monday morning, yeah.
All right, Bill Evans, I appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a great weekend. Be safe.
All right, man. Yeah, right. Not travel much. Once I get home, I'm going to stay in my house. I'm going to just coop myself up there. I don't want to be traveling around in that stuff. All right, Noam, I want to go now to the topic, the first topic. I mean, there's a lot to talk about today. And at the top of the next hour, John Sterling, the Yankee announcer who lost his home in Edgewater, is going to be joining us. I want to, you know, look forward to that very much, talking about, you know, how we can help my neighbors there in Edgewater. Arthur Idala is going to be on later on to talk about some of these, the criminal complaints against the New York Assembly Speaker who allegedly took millions in graft. But I think it's the end of the road, personally. I think it's the end of the road for Speaker Sheldon Silver. The allegations of corruption have been swirling around this man forever, but now the powerful Democrat, he has long ruled in Albany, as you know, facing this multi-count criminal complaint, accusing him of using the enormous leverage of his office to glom millions in bribes and kickbacks, and then covering everything up with fake billing and straw men. But what I want to know right now is, do you think he should resign in the meantime? Should he step aside at the very least? I start with Billy in Queens, our first caller of the day, 14 minutes after 10 o'clock. What are you thinking about, Billy?
Yeah, what I think is that he will not step down, you know, because he's too cocky. You know, there are a lot of Jews that's going to fall right behind him, and he's going to
just... What's the Jew thing? Why you guys bring up the Jew thing? You know, it's such an ignorant thing to do. It is an ignorant, racist, low-down, you know, absolute, crappy, stupid thing to say. The Jews. I mean, give me a break. I was going to use the F word there, but Crash gave me the high sign. I mean, please. If you're going to be I always maintain this is the smartest audience in radio land. But when you're ignorant, you know, go tune in another station. Here's James in Brooklyn. What's up, James?
Hey, Arava, I wanted to talk about this Sheldon Silver anyway. He's going
good.
Down.
Should he resign in the meantime? That's what I want to know. What do you think?
Okay, but what I wanted to talk about is the inflation on the ball. The 12th ball.
Okay, I don't know. Sheldon Silver's going to play for the Pats. But go ahead. What do you want to know about the ball?
Okay, it was properly inflated because that was for the kicker. And the kicker's going to kick off to the other team. And they're going to feel the ball.
That's an interesting point. Noam, did you think of that? Why was one ball the proper? I got you, James. That's very smart. I wasn't ready to talk about New England's deflate gate, but remember, 11 balls of the 12 balls were deflated. One was the hard ball. If that was the one that was going to be designated for the kicker, because, of course, he kicks it, and it's the other team that has to catch the hard ball rather than the squishy ball. You know, that would seem to me, I wasn't talking about it, but it would seem to me that that would be a very harsh evidence of premeditation on the part of New England.
Oh, yeah.
And a very devious scheme to gain a competitive advantage that really flies in the face of the denials from both Tom Brady and Bill Belichick.
Or even that 12th ball, there was a thought that 12th ball could be there just in case they are caught. So, you know, they bring this 12th ball out. They say, no, all the balls are fine, and they hand them that 12th ball.
I like the kicker one because if indeed it is that devious that they had one ball, okay, here's the kicker ball, and it was that highly evolved, this scheme, then it'd be very hard, it would seem to me, to deny that this doesn't go way up the food chain of New England. Okay, if you want to talk about football, I could talk about football, but I'd rather that you let me know, as voters in the great state of New York, I want you to tell us whether or not Sheldon Silver should step aside. This is the Speaker of the New York State Assembly. I know that everybody thinks Albany is corrupt, but this guy is actually in charge of stuff. This is tens of millions of dollars worth of real estate developments, maybe something going up at on the block where you live. You know, what's he giving away in terms of, you know, tax money to shysters and shills? You know, it's very and what did Mario, not Mario, God bless, what did Andrew Cuomo know about this? I mean, is this why he discontinued the Moreland Commission, because it was about to get his cronies by the nuts? I mean, it's a, these are big questions. Are we going to have a kind of a gut-wrenching cleaning of the house in Albany that takes down everybody? I mean, it's really, this is...
The headlines, the city's most pressing issues, Geraldo, today and every day, 77 WABC.
Welcome back. So why exactly did Governor Cuomo shut down the State Moreland Commission investigating precisely the corruption uncovered by this federal probe? You know, what in the world was going on? Why did Governor Cuomo do Sheldon Silver's bidding? Remember, it was the now arrested and charged Assembly Speaker who tried to quash the Moreland Commission subpoenas relating to outside income that these bums make, routinely raking in millions from business and lobby groups, trying to buy favors, especially, but certainly not exclusively, the real estate developers who stand to make tens of millions on these projects that are springing up in the current red hot real estate market. Why exactly did Andrew Cuomo shut down the Moreland Commission? I'm going to ask that till I'm blue in the face, till somebody answers. Republican or Democrat, are you satisfied that you've gotten an honest accounting of that process, the shutting down of the Moreland Commission? Is it a fact that having created the commission that the governor then tried to kill it because it went after his friends as well as his enemies? And in the meantime, we have, remember when they were throwing Elliot Spitzer and David Patterson under the bus? Elliot Spitzer gets arrested, or not even arrested, he gets accused of being with a hooker. And so Elliot Spitzer's got to go. He's got to resign right now. David Patterson, I think he intervened in some kind of case. Maybe it was a domestic violence allegation involving one of his aides, and Governor Patterson looked like he intervened. They said he's got to go now. Sheldon Silver said he's got to go now. Bill de Blasio said all these people had to resign right now. Why aren't they saying? Why isn't Bill de Blasio or Andrew Cuomo saying that Sheldon Silver, facing these very serious federal accusations, why don't they say he step aside? Why? They're going to bring Sheldon Silver back to Albany now with this huge taint of these corruption allegations, $4 million? How much of that would have been taxpayer money? I mean, it's preposterous, and it's so hypocritical. All right, what do you think? Should Silver resign? What do you think about Cuomo? Neil in Brooklyn, what's up, Neil? What are you thinking about? Thanks for calling.
Hey, how you doing, Geraldo? Hey.
Good, man. What's
first
up?
Of all, don't drive your car, your Rolls Royce this time in that snow tomorrow.
The Bentley, perfect. A banged up old Bentley. Right, go ahead.
He should go to jail, but then again, the Federal Bureau of Prisons is going to be a problem over there. They're going to say that we can't house him because of his age and this and that. And then he's going to turn really religious when he gets there.
Yeah, you get the best food in federal prison.
You say you're kosher
or Muslim or whatever.
He's going to go in that halal kosher meal place, and he's going to have his, you know, yarmulke. He's going to be praying 10 times
another one. All right, Neil, thanks. Here in Rockland, here's Frank. What up, Frank? What are you thinking about?
Hey, Geraldo, how are you this morning?
Good, man.
Just a big fan. I just want to make a comment. Preet Bharara did say to stay tuned after his interview, like kind of insinuating that there is more arrests to come or whatever. But it seems that New York has kind of been okay with this, you know, like Albany being a cesspool of corruption. I mean, Rob Astorino was a person who was, you know, telling us about all these things, about what's going on, and he pretty much predicted that, you know, that stuff like this would happen, that Albany's just a cesspool of corruption. So I think that if you want to get that, the right person to talk to would be him, because, you know, he was the one who was telling us. And as long as we're a Democratic heavy blue state, it's almost as if the Democrats are just okay with reelecting. And another thing is why de Blasio is saying that Michael Grimm should resign.
Right, exactly. So de Blasio went all after Michael Grimm, who was accused of paying two Mexicans off the books in his health food restaurant before he was in office. So de Blasio was all over Michael Grimm, the Republican congressman from Staten Island. And now he's calling Sheldon Silver a man of integrity who should be given the benefit of the doubt. I mean, come on, people. I mean, it's like these politicians say these things, and they think that we really are dumbasses, that we don't have, you know, we can't connect the dots. We can't figure out that they say the sky is blue when they want to, and, you know, they say exactly the opposite. I mean, it is preposterous to me, pathetic, hypocritical, and we're going to bust their ass.
Geraldo, the truth behind the story for New York. Live, local, on it, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
All right, get your shovels ready. Significant winter storm coming, as Bill Evans reports. 38 minutes after 10 o'clock, a storm already swirling over the state capitol, Albany, that den of corruption. Ed Cox joins us, chairman of the New York State Republican Committee. Welcome aboard. What do you think of the different approach that de Blasio is taking? Mayor de Blasio, for example, he wanted Michael Grimm's head. He said he should resign immediately as soon as he was charged. Here in this case was Sheldon Silver, the Democrat, who is the state assembly speaker and now is under such an avalanche of trouble. He's saying he's a man of integrity.
Called him a man of integrity.
So what do you think about that hypocrisy?
Look, maybe there's a presumption of innocence, but it is absolutely clear that he did not put these huge sums that he was paid by a law firm on his ethics form. He's a speaker of the assembly. He should be very careful when he's getting millions of dollars from a law firm and the ethics form, which I filled out every year since 1995, and you are careful doing it. How could he not put it on his ethics form? And then, you know, you have to go back with respect to the hush money being paid to cover up sexual assaults on women staffers in the assembly, and incident after incident.
So what are you suggesting? Ed Cox, chairman of the New York Republican State Committee, what are you suggesting? That the Democrats in charge of the assembly are corrupt, that it's a rotten place where people can buy favors, can buy permits, can buy, information that helps them make money?
And the fish rots at the head, and he's the head, and he should resign as the head. And the fact that except for two Democrats, one of them being Charles Barron, another one, every other member, Democratic member of the Senate, oh, no, he's great. We want to keep him on as Speaker. And Mayor de Blasio, oh, no, he's a man of integrity. Man of integrity. We know the facts that he is not, that he has had ethics violation at ethics violation. And now the U.S. Attorney for the Southern District is saying, no, he's a criminal. And here's what he's done. He's been taking bribes.
The Republican candidate for Governor Rob Astorino, the Westchester County executive, pointed out all this stuff, made a big issue of the Moreland Commission being summarily shut down by Governor Andrew Cuomo. But in his race against Cuomo, our buddy Astorino got his butt kicked. Do New York State voters not care if there is corruption? Do they prefer as long as someone is charming?
Cuomo got his butt kicked. Cuomo only got 54%. 4 years ago, Cuomo got 63%. 8 years ago, Spitzer got 69%. And this time around, it was Governor Cuomo, who had 4 years to get ready for this, had $40 million to dump on Rob, plus more than $100 million plus of the Startup New York ads that were really political ads for Cuomo, plus all the powers of incumbency to discourage people from helping Rob, and yet the governor only managed to get 54%.
Oh, but let me ask you. Okay, I get that. But Ed Cox, the top Republican in this state now, you said the fish rots from the head. The head of state government is Andrew Cuomo, the governor. Do you believe that he is involved, does he stink of fish?
You're raising the right question. Why are the feds bringing this indictment? Why isn't the attorney general and the governor, they have to do it together as a matter of public integrity to bringing these indictments? That's what the Moreland Commission was about. Why did they terminate the Moreland Commission?
Do you have any evidence of anything? What do you think?
Well, I think the Moreland Commission was getting too close to people who were supporting them. That's clear. Because when the Moreland Commission started looking at the governor's people, his supporters, the governor's chief of staff, Larry Schwarzkopf, said, no, stop it. This is not supposed to investigate the governor. When the governor at the very start of the Moreland Commission said, you can investigate anyone, including me. But when they actually started investigating him, then the governor interfered, said no, and there's a tussle with the staff and this and that. Some of the staff quit. Some of them come from the Southern District. They went back to the Southern District. And then when the Moreland Commission was terminated completely, because it really was going after the governor and the attorney general people and other Democrats, then they terminated it completely. And at that point, the feds took over, and they're using a lot of the evidence that was being gathered. They carried those investigations forward, and now they have bagged the Speaker of the Assembly, Shelley Silver, and who knows who else they're going to get.
So who knows who else? Do you have any inside information? Are we going to see a dozen, half a dozen? What?
Let me say, the governor's got a criminal defense team that is responding, I'm sure, to subpoenas or requests for information from Preet Bharara.
Big deal. Okay, I got to let you go, Ed Cox. I appreciate your assessment, your expert assessment, chairman of the New York Republican State Committee. Thanks, Ed.
Pleasure to be with you.
Okay, buddy. Okay, what are you thinking? Hey, Tony in the Bronx. What's up, Tony? What's up? Yo, Tony. There's no Tony. Here's John in Brooklyn. What's up, John? What are you thinking about?
Hey, Araldo. Let me run with this for a second. I don't think anything's going to happen here, and I'll tell you why.
Whoa.
We have so many lawyers that have infested the political system, and I know you're an attorney. Don't get upset. But what I'm saying is they know how to thread the system. You're probably looking at an ethics violation where they'll get him to resign, and that'll be that. Because these things just seem to go away when the lawyer's involved, because they know the law very well before they get involved.
Well, that's an interesting question.
Nothing ever happens.
And they are very good. They're very skilled. But what Preet Bharara says he found, and that's an excellent assessment there, John. What Preet Bharara, the U.S. attorney, says he has found is the phoning up of documents to make it appear as if these paybacks were actually legal fees. So if he didn't put any hours in on the case, and he's on a retainer, I mean, a gigantic retainer from some of these big firms that Sheldon Silver works for. I mean, I think that Preet Bharara is a very prudent man. He's not a flashy guy. He doesn't have the pizzazz that, say, Rudy Giuliani had when he was in that office. But as a result, when you see a guy like Preet Bharara come into a press conference to announce a criminal complaint like this and an arrest of a big political honcho, and he comes in with a swagger, you know, this dude has something. And I think that this is going to be as unsettling as Bridgegate was for New Jersey. This is going to be even bigger in New York. So fasten your seatbelts. Rob in Long Island. What's up, Rob?
Hey, Geraldo. How are you?
Geraldo,
they should take every one of them clean house because they make good salaries as it is. Then they squeeze us to death with taxes in the county, Nassau counties, and it's out of control. We're trying as hard as we can to make it here, and then you put these people in charge, and where they make great songs, and then they go and they play all these games.
They're cheaters, and they're doing it at our expense. It is pathetic. You're absolutely right. You know, this is real public integrity. You know, I want to just make this contradiction or this contrast one more time. Here is Michael Grimm, the only Republican in the Congress and the congressional delegation from the five boroughs of New York. You had one Republican and you have, what, five, six Democrats. So you have one Republican and he, it is alleged, hired these illegal immigrants, these undocumented immigrants to work at the health store and then didn't file income tax or withholding tax on the two guys. They're riding the bicycles around, whatever they're doing. You see them every day in the city. Now you have the Speaker of the State Assembly with millions of dollars of alleged corrupt money in his pockets. and the state attorney general and the governor of the state of New York do nothing about it except support him. You give him every benefit of the doubt. The other guy, the Republican, throw him out of here. Get him out of here. Do everything you can. Hurt him as bad as you can, as quickly as you can. Let's gain a political advantage. But when it is not in the political advantage of the governor or the state attorney general to investigate someone from their own party, where is their zest? Where is their vigor? Where is their conscience? Where is their desire to be the kind of leaders that they said they were going to be when they were campaigning? When the rubber hits the road and it's your guy who stinks of corruption, you hold your nose and you look the other way. You open the window. It's pathetic. That's why I'm saying I am absolutely convinced that the Speaker of the State Assembly, Sheldon Silver, could not have done what it is alleged he did, but for the tacit approval and cooperation of other powerful Democrats in this state. And now this U.S. attorney, I want him to root it out. Republican, Democrat, I don't give a damn. But if they are cheating and stealing, and as the caller from Long Island said, who's working hard to pay his taxes, the guy gets a buck and a quarter to be the assembly speaker. Then he gets all his expenses. He gets a vast staff. I bet that staff is working on this private stuff. That tax-paid staff of his is working on all this private stuff. Most powerful man in Albany, raking in the dough. They seized $3.8 million in cash the dude had. Sheldon Silver gets paid a buck and a quarter, and he had $3.8 million in cash in the bank. This is a big story. This is like a Watergate for New York State. This is a big deal. Okay, I want to talk more about that. I'm going to take your calls. 866-RALDO. Let me take a quick intermission here. I also want to talk about Deflategate. And then John Sterling, as Noam says, the Yankee announcer who lost everything at the in the big fire of Edgewater this week. He'll be joining us to tell us exactly what his deal is and how we can help. His friends and neighbors, our friends and neighbors. It's 49 minutes after 10 o'clock.
Live, local, on it, 866-HERALDO, where New York comes to talk, 77 WABC.
Okay, welcome back, everybody. 55 minutes after 10 o'clock. What are you thinking? Should Sheldon Silver resign pending these charges? He is innocent until and unless proven guilty under state law, he's allowed to stay in that job. Do you want him in that job? Or do you think the stink of corruption that lies so heavily on the Speaker's office indicates and necessitates that he step aside? If he is acquitted, he can get his job back. Otherwise, hell no. Joe in New Rochelle, what's up, Joe? What are you thinking about?
Hi, good morning. The sad thing and the good thing is that the U.S. Attorney's Office had to step in because the basically the local district attorneys and the attorney general's office have an incestuous relationship with these local politicians.
Agreed.
Rob Astorino, while I believe is a very good, honest man, his county, Westchester, is basically on the same level as Hudson County, New Jersey, with a level of corruption that's just intolerable.
Why you give Astorino a skate on that one? If the county is, as you say, as corrupt as Hudson County in New Jersey, why wouldn't
he be county
executive?
He's new in the office. He's had to deal with slimy characters like the Spanos, Piros, Larry Schwartz. And the stench that comes from the district attorney's office can be evidenced by a bizarre murder case at CNN.com and Richard at NYPDClemency.org. Where corrupt DA Jeanine Pirro as well.
I don't know much about what you're saying. Jeanine Pirro, dear friend of mine. Okay, I'm going to take your calls. 866-HERALDO at the top of the hour, though. We want to go to John Sterling, the Yankee announcer, and get his no doubt heart-wrenching story about this this awful fire. And now to find out that it was negligent construction workers who called the boss before they called 911. If that's true, that's pretty terrible. So don't go away. The news is next here on 77 WABC.
He started here. He is here. No one knows New York better. Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
You shake my nerves and you rattle my brain. Too much love drives a man insane. You broke my will, but what a thrill. Goodness gracious, great balls of fire. I let you love what I thought it was funny. You came along and moved me, honey. I've changed my mind, this love is fine.
Sending that one out to Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, and the New England Patriots as they circle the wagons. Jerry Lee Lewis. I think that Belichick's $500,000 fine that he got for spying a few years ago, it's going to pale in comparison to what the New England Patriots have to pay for what is clearly an egregious violation of the rules and ethics. They cheated. They're gonna get hurt. All right, but let's clean up this next segment on Sheldon Silver. I want to finish that up. Then I'll go to John Sterling and the situation in Edgewater. Then we could talk deflated balls on Friday. We could talk about football. I guess the Pro Bowl this weekend. No, is that what it is?
It is. Yeah.
Did you watch the Pro Bowl?
No.
Yeah, I don't know.
No. I mean, it's you might as well watch a flag football game, you know, down the block.
The only fun thing is seeing their different helmets.
That's true.
Joe in Whitestone. Joe, what's up? What are you thinking about today?
Yeah, how you doing, Geraldo?
Good. Thanks for calling 866 Geraldo. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. First of all, I don't think anything's going to happen to Silver. I do think he should resign, and I think he should move to Mars.
Why do you think nothing's going to happen?
Because
if the evidence is as the
he's a Democrat, and you know what,
he's going to a federal jury.
John Corzine, remember John Corzine?
I do.
Whatever happened to him?
Yeah, but he was never the allegations against Corzine. I don't even barely remember what they were. Didn't they involve? He had a girlfriend who was a union leader or something like that.
Yeah, and it was billions of dollars that was missing. I mean,
yeah, but he did. There's no allegations that Governor Corzine ever put it south. Here, the allegation is Shelley Silver was using his position to enrich himself. This is a big deal. I'm not sure how you get. Now you say okay. So let's just say that Sheldon Silver will argue that he got this money by doing legitimate work. Now it could be Sheldon Silver could argue, and I'll be his defense attorney for a minute. It could be that he was overpaid or he was richly compensated. But to be richly compensated for his work doesn't make it a crime, unless there was no work and the whole thing was a scam, as the U.S. attorney alleges, to appear to be legal work when in fact it was just, a bribe. It was like a no-show job, a bribe. I believe that if the U.S. attorney, and I have no reason to doubt his word, is telling us the truth when he describes the evidence of what Shelley Silver did, then this dude is in terrible trouble. He's going to be sweating it out. How is he going to do the state's business? Is he going to go back to Albany now and start destroying documents, the paper trail? I mean, I don't know. All I know is that these are very serious allegations, and we could be witnessing the end of an era here. Peter in Queens, what are you thinking about? Thanks for calling 866 Geraldo. What's up?
Yeah, you have to know the history of the Assembly. I worked there for 15 years.
What'd you do?
I was counsel to the Speaker, Saul Wepper, and after Mel Miller was convicted,
went down. That's right. He went
down.
Yes,
he did, and he eventually was overturned 2 years later, but it was too late. Mr. Silver is going to stay in, even though it's going to occupy too much of his time. The members in the Democratic Conference won't do anything until he's convicted, but they are now circling the wagons looking for a successor. There'll be
Hold on a second. You're the closest person to an insider we've had speaking about this. You are or were the counsel to two former speakers of the state assembly. Is that correct?
One former, Saul Wepper.
Wepper, okay. So in your dealing with him, did you see the kind of shenanigans that are alleged against Shelley Silver? In other words, I'm not asking you to tattle on your former boss, but you have a lot of people with a lot of money who have a lot of business to do with the state of New York. Did you see them attempting to use that influence regardless of what the speaker in your case did you see the attempts to influence, to tamper with the process?
Absolutely. Mr. Weppert himself, I believe to be truly, was an honest man. He gave up his law practice. And when he became speaker, he didn't think it was appropriate that you should have an outside law practice while you were speaker. Mr. Silver, unfortunately, had another idea about that. I mean, it's been an open secret for many, many years of the fact that New York will never see tort reform as long as Shelley Silver is speaker, because he gets $500,000 and more from Whites and Luxembourg.
Whites and Luxembourg, very prominent personal injury firm, slip and fall firm in New York, and he's getting that money to do what? I mean, that's a fair question. What did he do for Whites and Luxembourg, other than, as Peter suggests, stop legislation that might cut down on some of the exorbitant fees that lawyers get? So why I'm not sure how, Peter, and I got to let you go in a second, but how you think Shelley Silver can withstand this firestorm, because the media, I'm certainly not going to let him forget it. He's going to go back to Albany, but I'll be blasting him and every newspaper in the city.
It doesn't matter what you say or I say or what the New York Times says. It matters what the Democratic Conference says, and nobody's going to step up and say, you got to go now, Shelley. They'll all be making phone calls to each other saying, okay, if he's convicted or pleads guilty, I want to be speaker. That's what happened when Mr. Weppert became speaker. We were within an hour of Mr. Miller being convicted, we were on the phone making phone calls.
All right. It sounds pretty depressing. Would you retire?
Yeah. When Mr. Weppert died 3 years later, I had enough of Albany.
And is it the cesspool of corruption that it appears?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. Thanks for that, Peter. Joe in New Rochelle, what's up, Joe? What are you thinking about, buddy?
Yes.
Hello, Joe. Yes, you're
Larry
on. What's
from
up?
Hicksville.
Oh, Larry from Hicksville. Okay.
I just want to say that what you're explaining about politics is business as usual. You have 3/4 of all these people are criminals, and the blame lies with the stupidity of the American voter. That's my comment.
So you believe that we knew or should have known ourselves that these were bums?
Well, how many of these, Rango, all these people who go on for decades and decades and get reelected? So who's to blame? You know, they're in it to make money for their families, all of them. It's, you know, but Americans are just, you know, they'll vote in the
we're lazy, lazy voters. That's where we are. Sheldon Silver represents the Lower East Side. I used to live on the Lower East Side. I can bet you any amount of money you want to, that nobody of my former neighbors on the Lower East Side, nobody in the Avenue C knows that Sheldon Silver is the guy that represents the Lower East Side. Nobody knows. It's just, we are lazy voters, and these people take advantage of that lethargy. Here's Andy in Warwick. What's up, Andy? What are you thinking about, buddy?
I just think that, if this guy has been accused and arrested, then he should be removed from office. And I also think that anytime the police department gets sued, it should come out of their pension fund and not out of taxpayer dollars. People are getting tired of this crap.
All right. Well, that's some provocative suggestions there from Andy and Warwick. Hi, Connie in Connecticut. What are you thinking about?
I would like to know if anybody has fought to go through the footage of the playoff game to see if the Patriots caught every single one of Brady's balls or if they dropped a few.
They dropped a few, but I watched that game. They are very skilled. They routed the Indianapolis Colts. So you're in Connecticut. Are you worried about the snowstorm, Connie?
A little bit.
So what
but
do you do?
I'm more worried about Brady, okay? I love Brady.
You do? So do you worry that your hero is corrupt?
No, I don't. I think he's the best football player ever, and something else happened. We have to find out what that is, and not
like what a sunspot. What happened? How did the footballs get squishy?
Somebody was paid off to do it.
You mean to sabotage the Patriots?
Yes.
Ooh, that's interesting.
And see, maybe, who knows? Maybe Connie's right. Okay, let's talk balls. Let's talk balls for a while.
All right.
You know, I really, you know, Noam, I think that the sad thing about this is, and you heard Connie. Connie's a Patriots fan. Nope. So Connie doesn't want to believe any allegations against Tom Brady. And nor do I. I mean, the guy is, you know, such a wonderful role model by every indication I have. But if they cheated in the way that it sounds like they cheated, if this is true, then it's kind of like it's like the concussion stuff. And I don't mean to equate a deflated football with concussion. But I think of concussions now every time I see a hard hit. I think, oh, my God, that guy, his brains have just been rattled. And what's going to happen when he's 40 years old or 50 years old or 60 years old? Is he still going to be able to make a sentence, or is he going to be drooling? You know, so I worry about that aspect of football. Now I think, you know, if Tom Brady is cheating to get a competitive advantage, and he said my balls are perfect, you know, it just gives you a bad taste in your mouth that I wonder what isn't corrupt. That's my point.
I wonder how long it's been going on. I have a theory. He's been doing this for years. This is not, you know, the AFC Championship. This is goes back seasons that he's had a deal with whoever is his equipment manager to deflate the balls enough so he can play a game. And maybe it's all in his head that he can only throw, make a completion doing that. You know, sometimes something gets in your head, even though he's a spectacular player. I mean, may go down as one of the best quarterbacks ever in the NFL.
Ever.
But maybe in his head somewhere, he thought he could only do it if it was deflated this certain amount.
I felt the same way. You know, when I was playing tennis, before I lost my foot to the botched back surgery done by the hospital for special surgery. Oh, did I slip that in? When I play tennis, I would sometimes get it in my head that, oh, there's a shadow on the far court, or there's a bird in the air, or an airplane flew over, and it would psych me out. I think that you're onto something. That if in his head he had the notion, although it was not true because he is so highly skilled, that he could only complete a pass if it was a certain pounds per square inch instead of the designated pounds per square inch. I mean, that head has a disproportionate part to play in how you feel about your own personal competence. But it's 18 minutes after, and my competence tells me I've got to take a short intermission. Right back.
Live and local, the Tri-State's most important issues with Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
At the minimum, the National Football League is a $10 billion industry. That's the minimum assessment you could place on that league. The Super Bowl is a gigantic aspect of that multi-billion dollar business. And the backstory and the various teams engaged in the big game are always vital, out there. They're right in the front of your consciousness. People wait for the big game, particularly if you care about the teams that are playing. So what's going on now with this whole Deflategate, and why is it getting this attention? It's just a ball. I mean, please. But if you have a 30-second commercial, and it's selling for $4.5 million for a 30-second spot, you know that people are concerned about this product. Now, I'm not saying this is like Aaron Hernandez, where you have a dude who came from Bristol, Connecticut, came out of the streets, and they say they took him out of the streets, but you can't take the streets out of the guy. Aaron Hernandez accused of murder. This isn't like that. This isn't like Ray Rice knocking out his fiance in the elevator on videotape. It's not like that. It's not that kind of cosmic thing. But I'm telling you, this is a big deal. When it becomes a big business story, when people are concerned that their investment is affected, or now that people will be watching the game like me when I was thinking about concussions, all the rest of it, now you're thinking about, did Tom Brady cheat? Did Belichick cheat? Did they screw their opponents? Does everybody cheat? Did they cheat in different ways? Remember that scandal, that awful scandal, who was it? Which team was it? It was the New Orleans Saints, wasn't it, Noam, where they were paying a bounty allegedly for rushing linemen to hurt the opposing quarterback? I mean, it was a horror. That story is worse than this one. But it showed there they were trying to alter the direction of the game by cheating. In this case, in the case of the Saints, allegedly they were going to try to hurt somebody. This doesn't rise to that level, but it's bad enough. And I think that, I don't know, Noam, what do you think? It is in part fueled by the fact that Brady is so perfect
and the New England Patriots, people despise them. They've been so successful now.
No doubt. I mean, in some ways, the Patriots are sort of the Yankees of the NFL.
Yeah, right.
And so people just roundly hate them. And I think they understand that. The Patriots themselves understand that.
All right. Now, what do you think, folks? We go to Bill in Connecticut. What are you thinking about, Bill?
Hello. This
Hi, you're on, bud. Yes, you're on. What's up?
Hi, I was just thinking that if you pump the balls up in a warm room and then measure them later on as the balls cool down in a cooler room, they will register less air.
I agree, and I thought of that. Because, you know, when you fill up your tires, they say you should only inflate your tires when they're cold or only check the pressure when they're cold, all the rest of that. But to have this consistent pressure in 11 of the 12 balls – and the 12th ball not to be affected. And, of course, we had that one caller who said that 12th ball was the one that was their kickoff ball. So it must have been noted in some way so the equipment guy didn't get them mixed up. They probably had some little code going on. This is the one they use when you kick off. This is the one you use when Brady's throwing it. It's very hard to believe that it could have happened because of atmospheric pressure. But Patrick in New Jersey, what do you think, buddy?
Yeah, Geraldo, one telling thing for me is that Belichick, who's the captain of that ship, a very tightly run ship, he's the maestro of minutia. Belichick nor Brady either said a very key thing, which for me is, you know, we're outraged. We want to get to the bottom of this.
How interesting. What a good point. Absolutely. You're right,
Patrick. And point number two, Geraldo, I don't want to get into the tax thing, but everybody's got to know that the NFL is a tax-exempt organization. So if there's ever a question for tax reform or reason for tax reform, the NFL teams pay taxes, but the NFL is a league because its business is promoting the game, is tax exempt, and Park Avenue takes in $200 million a year.
Park Avenue is what? You mean just
the NFL headquarters?
Oh, I get you. All right. Well, that's another fascinating point, Patrick. You really know what you're talking about. There was no outrage. There was no outrage by Brady. There was no outrage by Belichick. You're absolutely right. What you had instead was a kind of defiance, a kind of bored, tepid defiance. I'm here. I have no knowledge whatsoever of the situation. I have no explanation. My balls are perfect. You know, yada, yada, yada. And now we got the big game coming next week, and everyone's wondering how else did they cheat? But yeah, they cheat a million ways. You know, the spikes.
New York's biggest issues right now. This is Geraldo, 77 WABC.
I didn't, you know, have any, I didn't alter the ball in any way. I have a process that I go through before every game where I go in and I pick the balls that I want to, the footballs that I want to use for the game. Our equipment guys do a great job of breaking the balls in. You know, they have the process that they go through. When I pick those footballs out, at that point, you know, to me, they're perfect. I don't want anyone touching the balls after that. I don't want anyone rubbing them, putting any air in them, taking any air out. To me, those balls are perfect, and that's what I expect when I show up on the field.
All right. Tom Brady, his balls are perfect. Before I get back to that, we have John Sterling on the phone now, the famed Yankee announcer who tragically lost his home in that big Edgewater fire. So, John, your life sounds like it's totally disrupted by this awful thing. You okay?
Oh, yes. I think we're all survivors, and it's a little scary when, you know, the fire hit. You only have the clothes on your back, and I have lost every single thing, but those are just things that can be replaced. I'm so happy that everyone got out. There wasn't one fatality, and I don't think there was a fatality among the firemen who had to brave that unbelievable inferno. So I guess, you know, in that way, everything worked out.
Before I get to the fire, I was just thinking, you know, I lost two old Jaguars that I had for over 40 years in a fire, also in Edgewater, my garage. It was nothing. I was just stuff, but it was stuff that meant a lot to me. I would imagine you had some Yankee memorabilia and other things, irreplaceable stuff in your apartment, John.
Well,
is that right?
You know, I'm not a great memorabilia person. I have that in my head. Like when we left the old Yankee Stadium for the new Yankee Stadium, no, I didn't take anything. I did, you know, thousands of games, so I have that in my head. But, you know, I lost all my clothes. You know, that's the first thing. And then I lost things like, books that I loved and movies that I loved and, And then just the normal things that have to be replaced that you use every day. Anyway, listen, a lot of people suffered a lot more damage than I did to their homes and families. And, you know, and I have the wherewithal to replace, you know, clothes and such.
Where are you staying, John Sterling?
In a hotel.
There in Edgewater?
No, but in Jersey.
So and, what do? Do you just go to the clothing store? You get
I went yesterday.
Everything brand new?
Well, you know, I have a TV thing on Saturday, so I had to get clothes to wear on that.
Right.
You know, that's the first step. And then the Yankees have been great. They sent over everything to me. So I have a lot of stuff I haven't even unpacked in this room. And, you know, onward and upward, you know.
You're going to dress in old Derek Jeter jerseys? What are you going to wear?
I haven't looked in the box. Maybe it'll be there.
John Sterling is my guest, the famed Yankee announcer who lost everything in the big Edgewater fire. How did you know the place was burning, John?
Well, you know, I got home, and we have underground parking, and I went in and I smelled smoke. My elevators were shut down. And it's a very big complex. And then I went over to another elevator and got up to my floor. I'm on the top floor, the fourth. And I walked around, and it was a long walk. You smelled smoke. Then I opened up a hallway door that was, you know, relatively near my place. And, Geraldo, the smoke was so intense and thick, I couldn't see anything. And, you know, I thought, you better get the heck out of here. So I did. And I could not believe the flames when I saw them later on the news. And I don't know how it started, but I'm just glad that everyone was safe.
Did you watch that thing burn down?
Well, I was in my hotel at that point, and I did see the news, and I could not believe that. You know, that was the towering inferno, but in reality.
In reality. And when you heard that it was apparently negligence on the part of the construction guys, what was your reaction?
Well, I didn't hear that. Is that true?
Yeah, that they were using an acetylene torch, and they started the fire, and then they called the supervisor to tell the supervisor there was a fire before they called 911. I mean, that's the
killer.
Rat.
Tell you, you know, when you have a home, you obviously have insurance, but when you have an apartment, you have renter's insurance. So I think they demand it in this place in Avalon. So, you know, that's certainly a good thing, too. So it's terrible, though, to lose your place.
Terrible. And there's so many people disrupted now, a lot of them in the schools and so forth. Noam, what's that number again people can call, or the website where they can go?
It's the GoFundMe.com website. So if you go to GoFundMe.com/Edgewater Fire, it's a safe place to donate. It's being run by the borough of Edgewater, and they're raising money for anybody who needs help that was chased out of their home.
One more time.
It's GoFundMe.com/Edgewater Fire.
So, John, you're going to be okay, John Sterling?
Oh, I'm going to be fine. I am fine. And, you know, the season, we go to spring training at the beginning of March. So, you know, I'm going to get my life in order by then, I hope.
We wish you the best, John. Appreciate
you.
You're terrific at what you do.
May I tell you one thing, though?
Please, go ahead.
Okay. I love mysteries. And I, you know, thanks to DVR, one of the great inventions of all time, you know, I DVR a lot of the mysteries on the Hallmark Movies and Mysteries Channel. Anyway, one of them, you know, you have a starring role. I got a big kick out of it. I think you'd get murdered in it.
I get murdered. The death of the Tattletale Romeo. I get Perry Mason. I get murdered.
Was it Matlock or Murder, She Wrote? Or
Perry Mason.
Perry Mason, see?
Well, I'm out here doing another. I'm in California doing Glee, so I'm happy. So, okay. Well, John, I'll give you the inside story. I'll tell you who murdered me. I tell you, the whole thing is because I wrote a tell-all autobiography once, and the Perry Mason people thought it would be a great idea if someone killed me.
Oh, but, that was terrific.
I appreciate it. Best of wishes to you.
Okay, thanks.
All right, thank you. Arthur Idala's on the phone. Thank you for your patience, my brother. How are you doing?
Oh, stop it. That was riveting, actually. Obviously, everyone else, all of us New Yorkers know John Sterling very well, and you know, our hearts go out to him. Nobody ever wants to go through that. So you did a great job. I also owe you a big thank you, Geraldo, because I've been working real hard lately. Like the whole, this 2015, all for good things. I brought in a new partner, et cetera, et cetera. And I was absolutely exhausted this morning after my hit on Fox. So I went up, snuck in your office, took the key, laid down on your couch for an hour, and I grabbed a couple of Z's. So thank you very much, brother.
As long as you were alone in there, Arthur. As long as you were alone in there.
I was absolutely alone. Forrest will be my witness, and I was alone. Your assistant.
I don't want any bodily fluids on my couch.
Well, we'll talk about that at a later date.
Okay. So how strong a case does it look like Preet Bharara has about against Sheldon Silver?
Pretty strong. I mean, it's very
awesomely strong.
Right. If you want to compare and contrast, because I know you like to talk about this, the indictment that was filed against Michael Grimm versus the complaint that was filed against Silver, it's night and day. I mean, Michael's was very broad and very, you know, nebulous. I mean, this is very detail oriented. It's very exact. And it seems like the only thing from a defense attorney's point of view, it seems like all the witnesses have gotten some sort of a deal already. And when you're a criminal defense attorney, that's what you harp on, you know, in front of a jury. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a rat. He'll say anything. Or even a rat has a mother, and a mother loves a rat. He'll do anything to save his own butt. So everyone's going to throw Shelley Silver under the bus. But in my opinion, Geraldo, this is a guy who stayed around too long, and he got too, you know, what do they say, the bulls win and the bears win and the pigs get slaughtered. And it just looks like you get there, you have this feeling of invincibility, and because he really was. I mean, he had titanic type of power. I mean, people outside of New York, I mean, they can't understand him, but it's like arresting the governor of a state. Look, he was doing some crafty stuff using his attorney's license, crafting things as attorney referral fees, where in fact they were really kind of pay to play situations.
Totally pay to play. I mean, if the complaint is accurate, he's going down. Arthur, I got to go. I mean, I went along with John.
I know, the break is up. I can't wait to see you, my favorite celebrity.
I'll see. All right, that's Monday night. Celebrity Apprentice Monday night. I'll be home. I'll be home all weekend. So, all right, Arthur, I love you.
We'll see you soon. Have a good weekend.
All right, buddy. 48 minutes after 11 o'clock. Don't go ahead. Coming to your calls after this.
The sound of the city, Geraldo, where New York comes to talk. 77 WABC.
6 minutes to high noon. And again, as many of your calls in as I can squeeze. Let's go to Robert in Brooklyn. What up, Robert? What are you thinking about?
How you doing, Geraldo? It was just a quick call on the football. I think, if I recall correctly, Brady did say something about his preferring to have a softer ball, especially when Gronkowski spikes it. He said it makes it softer. That was one of the things. And the other thing is that on the kickoff, the league handles the balls that are used for the kickoffs. The free
kick. Are you sure about that? Oh, that's interesting. So the 12 ball theory that someone else.
The balls for the kickoffs, and the teams handle the balls for the quarterback. And I somehow suspect that that is going to change. That's one of the things that's going to change after this.
How would you change it? So the league handles all the balls no matter what?
Everything from now on. That's the only way it could be fair.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. You're absolutely right. I didn't mean to talk over you, though. But that's the fair way to do it. Let the league handle all the balls. I mean, forget about trusting the opponents. You can't trust. There's no trust when there's this big business involved. There's too much money involved. There's too much at stake. You just can't trust the good faith of one team to play fair. You get a team that plays fair and a team that cheats, who wins? Dan in New Jersey, what are you thinking about, buddy? Thanks for calling.
Geraldo, my friend, condolences on your brother, by the way.
I appreciate that. Thank you. What a great guy.
Brady is the operating arm of a $1 billion corporation. It's preposterous to imagine that those balls are any other way than he wants them. That's preposterous. The punishment I suggest is hockey style. Put a man in the box. Let him pay one quarter of the Super Bowl. Put only 10 plays on the field.
Well, that's fascinating. I don't know if they could play that one. But I think that don't you think that if they take away a draft choice, that would be punishment enough? I mean, it wouldn't be immediate punishment, but oftentimes, you know, when you give someone the death penalty, it's 20 years after the crime. So let him just suffer in the future.
But his team is probably the 30th pick anyway. They're not going to be able to do anything. They'll blame a ball boy, and somebody will get fired, and that'll be the end of it.
All right. I appreciate the call. I want to end this on an up note. I hope you have a great weekend. Stay safe with this traffic, with this weather coming in and all the rest of it. Noam, give me that one more time. Give me one more time the address in Edgewater.
It is GoFundMe.com/EdgewaterFire.
Okay, so let's help our neighbors, our friends and neighbors in Edgewater, where I'm heading tonight. On Monday, Celebrity Apprentice, don't miss it. You can follow my diary exclusively at Geraldo.com. We'll also have the guest who is eliminated on Tuesday of next week. Could be me. Tune in. Have a great weekend. I love you very much. We'll see you then.